Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Everybody, good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning, August the 17th. It's a beautiful morning here in Tennessee. I am here by myself. Pastor is out of town, as you guys know. I just want to thank you so much for praying for me, checking in on me. And, you know, I'll certainly be glad when he comes back home. But the Lord woke me up this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning and gave me a sermon. I had something else on my spirit, but he changed it. He gave me a dream and told me to speak on the unmerited grace of God for an end time generation. It is so awesome. I cannot even wait to just delve into it. It's like eating a T-bone steak when you're with the Lord like this. And so before we get started, though, I'd like to give you a few announcements. One is we have the fast. The September fast is coming up September 2nd through the 4th. I encourage all of you guys to go to our website, goem.us. That stands for Garden of Eden Ministries. And go to the events page, and you will see the sign-ups for that. Also, can you believe this one? Bible college starts next week. I can't believe it. It starts next Monday. So it's just like right here on us. And it's going to be the fastest 4 weeks. I'm telling you, it's going to be so exciting. I'm very excited to get started with it. Okay, now Leslie, she is back home. And tomorrow we have a very special prayer call. Where Leslie will share her trip. Leslie came out of Mormonism, and she went through the whole process of separating from the church. It's a big deal. I mean, it's such a big deal she had to get an attorney. That's how bad it is trying to get out of Mormonism. So, but she got out, and then she started writing a blog. And, you know, where she was telling everybody about Mormonism and stuff. So she, her mother passed away a few weeks ago, and we all prayed, you know, that God would give her the money because she lives in the south part of Florida and her mother is up in the way north of the country. Like, what was the Utah? And so we all prayed, you know, that God would give her the money to go to her mother's funeral. Now, they didn't have a funeral, but they actually did a, you know, a going home celebration. And so God provided. We all celebrated. And so she's going to, you know, share that testimony tomorrow. If you have to work, we will record it because this is very important. She has a lot of stories she wants to tell us going back to the Mormon family. So we all pray, believe me, you know, that God would cover her and, you know, that she would be a light and that God would really use her, you know. So we're really excited to hear Leslie's testimony tomorrow. So, like I said, Bible college starts in a week. Y'all go ahead and get signed up on that. You can find out more on our website on that as well. The fast in 2 weeks. I encourage everybody to get on this fast because we have been revealing Trump's plans with the government and how the martial law that's taking place now up in D.C. is actually going to be spread nationwide. So, you know, people, we just need to get ready. So that fast is in 2 weeks. And Miss Annette, we've been praying for Miss Annette. Praise God, you know, that she is feeling better and the Lord got her through what she went through. And, you know, so if y'all, let me tell you something. Yesterday morning, you know, I spent all day cleaning up the front porch and, you know, I mean, deep clean, you know, clean the bricks, clean the walls, get all the mud daubers off there, you know, clean all the pictures, get every, move all the furniture, clean out from under the furniture. You know, I'm talking one of them deep cleaning days. It took me 11 hours. And, but anyways, while I was doing that, though, I did minister to some people who called in for prayer. And I'm going to tell y'all something. There is a lot of people hurting out there right now that are going through a lot of different things. But we all have to know that God has an unmerited grace for us right now. Whatever this is that we're all struggling with and going through, where we feel like we can't take another step, this is where the unmerited grace of God comes in. We have to understand this, because the other day I went to the chicken coop, you know, while Dennis is out of town, there was a huge snake, like a 9-foot-long snake. I was like, oh, to the heck no, I was not called to this, I'm not a farmer. Where's Dennis? So, that old snake, you know, was all caught up in the wires in the chicken coop. So I had to go get a man. So I got the neighbor across the street and he come up there. He didn't kill it because he said it would just die, you know, just let it hang there. So the next day I go up there and there's the snake. The whole top half was missing. So, boy, I called Dennis. I got an emergency, Dennis. You know, the snake done cut itself off and now he's somewhere in the chicken pen. The chickens won't even come up here. He's like, quit being a chicken and go over there and cut the head off, because I found out it was actually still there just hiding. So I was like, ugh. All right. So anyways, I thought about it when I got off phone with him. And I thought, now listen here. You know, God is preparing me for my persecution, right? He's preparing me. And if I can't cut the head off the snake, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I was thinking. And then I was like, God, I've got to have your grace. This is so beyond myself. I hate snakes. I hate even being near them. So I had to go over there and take the pliers on its neck, and it tried to bite me, you know, and all. It was an adventure, but I finally made it, you know. But we're going to have to know, and what God wants to strengthen within us today is that there is an unmerited grace, unlimited grace for his people. And that's what he wants to impart into us today. We can do all things that he calls us to. So let's go ahead and get started. And we'll get started praying. I have two songs I want to sing, and then we're going to get right into the word. All right. Lord, I just want to thank you so much for giving me that dream this morning, Lord. I want to thank you for waking me up and ministering to me in the middle of the night, Lord. In the beautiful morning, I just thank you so much for your unmerited grace, Lord. Lord, we pray for Pastor today while he is away, Lord, that you would bless him while he's with his family, Lord. Bless him in every way, Lord. Let him be a blessing. Let him have that healing touch, Lord, when he touches people and prays for people, Lord. Let him be the light everywhere he goes. Thank you so much, Lord, for our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now he is on here with us. Let me see if he can say hi to you guys. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm so happy that you was able to call in. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm found a place up on a hill next to my friend's place and back in the driveway, staring in the sun beaming in my eyes.
Yeah.
So,
is it the friend that I'm thinking of, friend?
No, it's my friend Gene who.
Oh, Gene.
This summer his house got hit by a tornado,
yeah.
And so they completely tore it down, and he's rebuilding it now, and they've got the foundation all done. I'm looking at it right now, and so they're getting ready to put, you know, the foundation in the basement, you know, and then they're getting ready to start building, it looks like to me.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I'm going to go to a church service in town, and then after that, then I'm going to go out to my other friends where I have to do that business that we talked about.
Yes, sir. Well, so, I pray the Lord gives you the prophetic insight. The Lord gave him a dream, I guess a year or two ago, about this location that he wants him to go pray over. I don't know if you feel like sharing what happened or not, Papa. Maybe not.
Oh, well, just real briefly.
Okay.
It's a long story.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was a very, very good friend of mine. And I was staying with him and ministering to him. He had a really serious accident and was hurting, and he was on pain pills and then got into drinking. And I was trying to minister to him, get him to go to church and get him off, you know, drinking, and talk to his parents, and they got him in rehab, and that was great. And when he got rehab, while he was in rehab, I remodeled kind of his house and painted it and inside and everything. I was living in the corn crib, made a little apartment in his corn crib. And when he got out, everything was going really great for about 6 months. And then when I come home to his place, you know, that evening, here an old friend of his stopped by and got him drinking again, and that led to a spiral downhill. And I would come, you know, home at night, and he would be all drunk, and we had a fallout, and he was hollering at me and right in my face, and it was the devil, you know. I could, first time I ever seen it, but I seen two demons in his eyes, and I just like, whoa. And I just told him, yep, no problem, I'll find a different place, just give me time. And I moved out, and then that's when I ended up moving to Missouri. And about a year later, in that time, he had a girl move in with him, and he was still, you know, drinking and everything. And she come home one evening and said, you need to go back to rehab. And he went in the house and come out, and right in front of her, you know, he shot himself. And so they end up tearing down the farmhouse and everything. And there's still a shed out there, a brand new one that I helped build for him, for his mechanics. And anyway, I'm going to go out there over that land and pray over it and try and release anything I need to release, I guess.
Yes, and Lord, we just all pray and come in agreement that you give Dennis wisdom about how to pray over that land and how to heal that land when he goes. Thank you, Lord, that you led him, which means if you gave him a dream, you already have been there. You've already prepared the way. So we thank you for this prophetic mission that Dennis is on today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, maybe when you get back, you can share with everybody how it went.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, sounds good. I really miss you. Okay.
Miss you guys too. Miss you.
Hey, tell all these women, the women that's on this call this morning, they're the ones that's been checking in on me. Tell them what you told me yesterday.
What did I tell you? I told you so many different things.
Where you thanked all them women for checking in on me?
Oh yeah, I definitely appreciate you girls checking in on Mama, and talking with her and just being with her, you know, even though it's across the miles, it really means a lot. And it helps her with the fellowship too and ease the pain of me being away. but no, I greatly appreciate you girls. I really do. And appreciate your prayers for us.
Well, we love you. And let's go ahead and get started. Okay, we're going to start off singing the song. Do you know that song? I know we've sang it before at church before. Called "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." And before I get started here, I want to say something else to Pastor and to all of you guys. What he's doing today is epic. It is epic about praying over that land. I have told you guys all my stories of traveling across the country and, you know, praying over land, praying over people. It is very, very serious because the land, the Bible talks about it over and over again. How the land, you know, the blood cries out and the land hurts, you know. So if there's something left there, God wants that dealt with in the spirit. And that's what Dennis is going to do. Okay, one story is when I was on the Ouija board when I was 19. Well, no, I was 20. And I was working at my mother's husband's store, his grocery store, when I was on it. And the devil, it was right there at the end of my 18 months being on it. And the devil exposed himself. You know, he took over the board and started talking to me and stuff. And so I got so scared I ran out of the building and left it there. Okay, so that spirit stayed there. So 30 years later, you know, after deliverance and everything, 30 years later, you know, I'm in full-time ministry. And this is when I was writing my life story back in 2015. And I was in that cabin. And the Lord gave me a dream one night. He said, I want you to get up and go to that store where you got off the Ouija board. And the owner, your father-in-law, is going to be there. I mean, stepfather. He's going to be there. And so I want you to be there at 7 a.m. He even told me the time. He said, you need to repent and you need to cast that out. You need. So God made me 30 years later go back and deal with that thing, you know. And I took it. When I went there, the man was there and he cried. You know, when I told him that I'm a preacher now and I repented and everything, and I prayed over the building. I told him, I said, your business will really prosper now. You know, so yes, whenever things traumatic like that happens, you know, God wants that to be dealt with in the spirit. So I am very excited about what's going to happen to that man's family after Dennis does this, what happens to that land after Dennis does this, the girl that saw the man do that, what it's going to do for her. You see what I mean? You don't know, but God is directing him, so God will lead him. It's a prophetic mission. Okay, here we go. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Oh, Lord. You're beautiful. Your face, sorry, is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. See, this morning we're talking about the unmerited grace of God, and it says, your grace abounds to me. Unmerited grace, often referred to as unmerited favor, is a concept when someone receives kindness, a gift, or a blessing without ever having earned it or deserved it. It highlights a positive action or benefit given freely without any obligation or requirement for the recipient to have earned it. This means it's not earned or deserved. You have done nothing to justify the favor that you receive. So, the Lord is encouraging us this morning that His eyes are upon us. Here's another song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Isn't that our heart's cry this morning? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Lord, we just worship you this morning. We praise your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as you take us in your word today, Lord, and you open the eyes of our understanding of the generation that we are and the purpose and destiny that we have at this time, Lord. We thank you for illuminating that in our spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody, open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show yourself to be a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, and walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and whatsoever you turn to yourself. What is this saying? This is David is getting ready to die. And this is David's last words to his son Solomon. Now, when you think about David, what a sad story. You know, David had the encounter with Bathsheba, which was a sin. He lusted after a woman up on the roof, and he wanted her for his wife, so he killed the husband and took her as wife, and he paid a great price with God. I mean, you know, he was able to live, and he was able to have her, but he lost his anointing. He lost his future. You know, he was not able to see the temple built, and that was his heart's desire. But his son, and God told him, out of his grace and mercy to David, I will have your son will be the one that will build the temple. So this is David, and he's on his way out of the earth. Like he said in verse 2, I go all the way out of the earth. You know, he's like, I'm leaving, I'm dying. Now at this time, his son, other son, who is older than Solomon, tried to take the throne before David even died. And it was a really terrible thing. And his pride, and he tried to take over the kingdom, and even had a lot of David's people with him. Okay? So David's been through a lot in his latter years. And then as he's dying and speaking his last words, this is what he says. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and whatsoever you turn yourself. And boy, is that a word to us today. If we will trust the Lord. Remember, I preached that sermon recently about which God do you fear? That's basically what that is, because the Lord is saying, if you will trust me, I'm your provider. I will take care of you. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know what Joab. So the first verses 3 and 4 is where David is telling Solomon, look, if you will do good as you take the throne to honor God and his commandments, he will bless you beyond measure. Then he gives another instruction. In verse 5, he tells him to get revenge and to get blood on this man who hurt the kingdom. But I'm not going to read all that, because that's just, you know, some instructions of getting revenge on behalf of God. And then go down to verse 10. Now, because all of that, you know, from 5 to 9 is all about revenge on these one people. But on 10, he says, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. Okay, remember I told you guys that in the Bible, whenever someone is honored, they are buried in the right place. When they are not honored, they're not able to go into the burial of honor. That's a way of living a good life, is how you know where you was buried. And so one good example of that is Leah and Rachel, you know, because Leah was the first wife, but the husband, Jacob, didn't like Leah. He wanted Rachel, but the father tricked him and gave him Leah first. So Leah was unloved, and she had his first kids. Okay, and then Rachel couldn't have kids at the time. So she was rejected and despised. And this is what I tell a lot of women. If you're in a marriage and you feel rejected and despised, think about Leah. Because what happened was, when she died, God honored her. How did he honor her? Put her next to her husband, not Rachel, the one that the man actually loved. But God honored her. Okay, so, and the days of David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. Now, this is a very interesting fact. Is that the number 40, where he reigned over Israel, 40 years, we know is a prophetic number. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33, such a impactful number today. Whenever we hear, we automatically think Masonic, you know. But another way to look at that as well is Jesus was in ministry 33 years. You know, he was 33 years old, rather. And so, then set Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Now, Adonijah, he's the one that tried to take over David's throne. That's David's oldest son. And, you know, but it didn't come to pass because David chose Solomon. Okay? The Lord chose Solomon. So Adonijah came to Bathsheba to see if she could do something for him. So watch this. And she said, come here peaceably. And he said, peaceably. He said, moreover, I have somewhat to say to you. And she said, go ahead. He said, you know that the kingdom was mine and that all Israel set their faces on me that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. So he's letting her know, I'm not happy. I had this kingdom, but the Lord had other plans. Come on now. So he is saying that it's a jealous heart that he had towards Solomon, because Solomon was given the throne by God. And let's see what happens. And now I ask one petition of thee, please don't deny me. And she said, come on. And he said, speak, I pray you, unto Solomon the king, for he won't tell you no, that he give me Abishag, the Shumanite, to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak to him for you, to the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. Isn't that beautiful? He honored his mother. I love how Dennis loves his mother. And I really believe that how a man treats his mother is how he will treat his wife. And she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you, and I pray that you will not say no. And the king said to her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say no to you. And she goes, let Abishag, the Shumanite, be given to Adonijah, your brother, to wife. And the king Solomon answered and said to his mother, why do you ask for Abishag, the Shumanite, for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom too, for he is my elder brother, even for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. Then King Solomon swear by the Lord. Listen, this is so sad because he knew. Because see, that woman that he wanted to marry was King David's servant. So he was trying to usurp the throne through another way. So King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which has established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And he was. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. So, there's that. Hold on. Okay, so the whole rest of the chapter talks about Solomon doing and honoring his father and going after all the enemies that he talked about in the rest of that scripture. And he did it. So here it ends in 45. Let's go to verse 45. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever, because he honored his father and killed all the enemies. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Bam. So Solomon finished his mission from his father, and he was honored and established. And you know from that point what happened to Solomon. Extreme favor. He wasn't perfect. He had a lot of things, you know, that was wrong at the same time. But he was blessed. Richest man ever lived. Okay, now, go to your Bible over to, let me turn my page here. Make sure I read all my notes to you. Okay, I'm going to read you my notes. His brother Adonijah was deceitful. He tried to become the king while David was alive. But when David chose Solomon, he tried to sneak his way to the throne by his mother, Bathsheba, and going to the king to marry David's helper. Solomon killed him, so he told his mother the king should have been his. Adonijah did. So he passes judgment on his brother. But Solomon did as David requested, and his throne was established. Now, we have our inheritance as Christians. And this is where we're going now in the New Testament. If you'll turn to the book of Matthew. We are the last generation. And we have a command from Jesus. When he left, he gave his last words. And we're going to look at that today, because we are carrying on his will and his established kingdom. Okay? When Jesus came, see, he gave us a new covenant. And the new covenant, like when he died, you know, the veil was torn. So there's no more of the first covenant. He gave us the second covenant, which is where he said, okay, not only do the Jews have the blessing and the access to God, but now everyone does. That's why he is the Lamb. The perfect Lamb that was slain. Which is what the book of Revelation reveals. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus as the Lamb. Who is Jesus? You know, he is all of it. He's the Word. He's the truth and the life. You know. Okay, so everybody turn your Bible . Okay, now these are the sermons that actually, if you go back to chapter 24, Jesus kind of given his last words on the earth before he went to the prayer closet, you know, the garden, and then he was taken up on Golgotha Hill and was crucified. So this is like his last words to the church. So what was it? He talked about the destruction of the temple, and he said, in 3 days, I will tear down the temple. Okay, so let's go. Now, this is Jesus. Like, if Jesus is sitting at the bedside with us on his deathbed, this is what Jesus is passing to the next generation. And this is us. This is the word that the Lord has for us today. You know, we are carrying on his image. Okay, because remember, you know, back in the Old Testament, the people that were the next generation carried on the legacy of their fathers. They were all known. Who's your father? You know, they were known by the name, right? Oh, you're of the house of David. Oh, you're under the house of Solomon. You know, they were known by names. But see, now we are all in one house. Isn't this beautiful? Now there's only one name. Oh, you're of the house of Jesus. Do you see? There's no more identity when you get saved. which I told you guys this. You know, this is where I do not believe in Messianic Judaism. I believe that's a farce for, you know, the Noahides, a preparation for the Noahides. Everyone has to convert. We are all in process to become like Jesus, right? Because we're in his house. We are his, we're his image. So there's no more, oh, I'm black, so I am this, or I'm white, and I'm this, or I'm a Native American, and I'm this. No more of that. No male, no female, no Jew, nor Gentile. Nothing except Jesus. We're in his house, his image, right? So this is him. And you know, I never knew this until the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning and told me. I never put the two and two together that this was Jesus on his deathbed. And he's leaving his legacy to us. We're the generation, the last, the end time generation. And now it makes sense. You know, when you think about, even the apostles thought they were living in the end of days. They was. Because now they're under Jesus's house. We're all in this dispensation of grace. This grace time we're in. Remember, this is the unmerited grace of God for an end time generation. It's everybody from Jesus forward. The key is, though, with us, we are the end time generation in the physical. Okay? We're the ones closing the book to time and the revelation of who Jesus is. You know, we are the kingdom of God everywhere we go. Like Pastor, you know, when he's with his family and he's going to do all these prophetic things, you know, he is the kingdom of God has come. Right? So let's look now at the last words of Jesus. So let's just start with chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Now this is key, because Nar is telling everybody, oh, they're fixing to build the temple. You know, Israel 365, they're all talking about it, you know, getting ready for the temple. Making everybody think it's over there, it's over there, it's not happening now. This right here shows you the temple is us, okay? All of that is a ruse and a farce. Okay, and Jesus answered them when they were showing him the buildings of the temple, right? In verse 1, Jesus replied, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. For the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. See, this is where I believe this is where we're all going right now. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, this is Jesus talking on his deathbed, telling these people, get ready. They're killing me right now. They're going to end up killing you. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Now look at this one. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And then he puts in parentheses here. Whoso reads, let him understand. You know, my definition of standing in the holy place is what took place with the jab. Because now he is standing in the holy place. What's the holy place? Our heart. Verse 16, then let him which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. When is the great? Remember, I had that guy on Bride Time Live, that Dewey, you know, and his belief is that on July 4th, we entered into the great one. There's a difference between tribulation and the great one. The great one is where everything escalates and death is on the horizon. You know, the martyrdom of the church. And I believe that too. That we're at this point in time right now. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Uh-oh, that's kind of scary. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, which we all know our time is so fast right now. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets that shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, and we all are just in awe at how many people are deceived right now. I mean, you know, just 20 years ago, you would have never thought it. You know, even 10 years ago, you would have never thought it. You'd have never thought that 95%, how about this, 98 or 99% of the world is deceived. You just would not have ever believed it would be this bad. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So he spends his last time talking to the church in warning, doesn't he? He's telling them what's to come. Immediately, look at this, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. That right there blows out the, you know, the pre-trib rapture. And the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers from the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall the appearance of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wow. And he shall send his angels with a great shout of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, I got chills. Dun da da da, dun da da. Now it's your time. The kingdom of God is come. Can you imagine? All of the kingdom. It's now time to leave. Let's all go to heaven. You know, can you imagine just being about your business and hearing that dun da da? And then you'll be like, oh, you know, it's going to be so amazing. I just got chills. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. So there is going to be a gathering of his saints. His word says it right here. But it's not pre-trib. It is not. It is going, people are going to have to go through stuff. There's going to be martyrdom and everything else, you see? Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see all things, know that it is near even at the doors. So verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And this is us. We're the last generation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember that dream I had about the floods right before Hurricane Helene, and how, you know, there was all them people over there warning us, and I didn't want to hear it because I wanted to live my life. I was out shopping, minding my own business. I didn't want to slow down to be warned. I saw all them over there. But outside, it was beautiful and sunshine. I wanted to go shopping. But then, water starts coming up around my legs. And I'm like, so what? I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I don't care. So then the water comes up around the waist. Then it's getting harder to walk because it's getting hard to manage on my own. The people over there are still warning. Then the waters come up to my neck. And then they start swaying me back and forth. And now I'm out of control. So right before I started drowning, I looked over and all them people that were warning were inside a glass box. They were safe. The water was just going all around them. They wasn't even touched. But I am being killed. And as I'm drowning, all I can think of is I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have listened. But that's the way a lot of people feel right now. They're afraid that what you're saying is true. Because think about it. If what you are saying is true, what if you're right? You know, these people have to make very serious changes. And what we're seeing with a lot of people right now, they don't want to give it up. And they don't want to give up their jobs or their status or, you know, their image. So they choose to stay in and ignore it. Or either they see it, they want to know about it, but they don't want to do nothing about it. So it's an oxymoron, you know. So let's continue here. Now, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, bam, 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 bam. There's your word right there, watch. Watch, 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 therefore. For you know not when your hour that the Lord does come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready. Now, this is Jesus on his deathbed. Warning. Be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man's going to come. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, who his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. In other words, you know, will he find anyone in this hour that has faith? You know, and that's been said in the word. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware. I used to be that person. I sure was. I used to be that person in the bar on Saturday night and in church on Sunday. I just did not want to give God all that he wanted. I wanted a part of myself. I wanted control, because in my 20s, when I was in full-time ministry for a while, traveling, casting out demons, singing in churches, and all that kind of stuff, I had no control over time. I would be, like, say, going to the doctor or something serious, you know. And I'd be riding down the road, and he'd say, turn right. I'd be like, what? I'm supposed to turn left to go to the doctor. You know, I have an appointment here at a certain time. But I'd have to obey God. He'd say, turn right. I'd say, okay. And he'd say, turn left, turn left. So, see that house over there? There's going to be a man. When you open that, when you knock on the door and he opens the door, I want you to give him a word. I was like, all right, Lord. So here I am going to some strange man's house, you know. And I'm a woman, you know, and I'm single. But I'm still obeying the Lord. So I go to the house, I knock on the door. This big old burly man comes to the door. And he says, yes. I said, sir, I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. And the Lord, I was on my way to the doctor, because I'm always honest with people. You know, I just tell them, the Lord told me to come here, and he has a word that he wants me to tell you. And I said, thus saith the Lord. And then I told him what the Lord said. It was about his childhood. Because the Lord would reveal to me where the cutoff was between him and this servant, him and this person. And when I would pray for people, I would prophesy, and God would tell me. And they would, this man fell to his knees and started repenting, crying and repenting. Yes, yes, yes. So I knew, you know, later on down the years, what it meant to give God my all. It meant no more me. I'm done. You know, everything. That's why when I went to grad school and everything, studied in London, God had grace on me during my stupor. You know, he still showed me the mark of the beast when I was over there. That's what my first book is, was my trip to London. And so after I graduated with my master's degree, he shut every door and wouldn't let nobody hire me. He told me, he said, I'm your boss. Get on your face and get right with me, woman, you know. But I knew what he meant is that I'm either going to surrender and let him have me back to where I'm not trying to control me where he can, you know, type of deal. So I surrendered, and then he told me, I'm your boss. You know, and it's been this way ever since. It's 12 and a half years now. Okay, so let's go back to the word here. Now, where we left off is, you know, Jesus is telling all the people here, I'm warning you about the signs of the time, about the deception coming, you know, false prophets, false teachers, and telling you, you know, focus here. Focus, focus, focus. Pay attention. You know, don't get caught up in the worldliness, you know. Because a lot of people, you know, when they're single, that's the one thing you miss about being a Christian single is the fellowship. Because, you know, when you're single in the world, you look forward to going to the bar. And the reason that was is because, you know, everybody was drinking and their defenses were down. You know, basically is what it is. And, you know, everybody could just have fun and, you know, let it rip type of deal. And if you love to dance, you got your exercise and you got your fellowship, you know, partnering with people and whatnot. And, you know, with being single, it's like there's nothing for people, you know. But you still have to choose, you know, the life under the Lord, that he's your husband now. And, you know, all that stuff is just temporary pleasures. You see what I mean? Okay, so let's continue. Go to verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling. Oh, hold on. I was on the wrong scripture. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Verse 47. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his good. All his good. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him as a portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then, now watch this, notice the word then in verse chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now we get into how to protect yourself as the remnant. Because now he's talking about the remnant. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarrieth, they slumbered and slept. Boy, do we see that today or what? Or what? We see all kinds of people slumbering and sleeping right now, don't we? And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, I don't think so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, you know, when you hear that, you think, boy, that is awful selfish. Why wouldn't they just share? You know, and we have talked about this before, Bride. I remember preaching before about this. This is the time you have to think about your oil. This is a time that you have to be selfish to a point. Because you can't go to hell for other people. There are people that are choosing to go to hell for other people. Can you believe that one? It's the truth. There is people that say, Lord, I would rather you send me down there and not my kid. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I have. This is where you have made your kids an idol. This is something all of you have to hear my heart this morning. If you love your kids or your spouse more than you love God, then you're in deep trouble. Because Jesus won't have it. He's a jealous God. God is a jealous God. You learn that when you read my book called Testimony of the Broken Bride. Jesus is the true husband. Because he's jealous for us. He ain't going to put up with them shenanigans. And how many preachers have you seen that have picked their kids over Jesus? If their kids go off into homosexuality, what do? They begin preaching acceptance and tolerance. Because they love that kid more than they love Jesus. How many people in the Bible do you see that their kids turned on God and they had to watch with their eyeballs, their own eyeballs, their kids be judged by God? Their kids be killed by God. It's very serious that we have to love our God in this day and hour more than we love anything else or any other person. If we try to hold on to that person, place, or thing more than we're holding on to Jesus and the horn of the altar, you're going to go to hell. There's no other way to say it. Because you got to choose this day who you're going to serve. Your kids, your kids are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to choose according to the lust of their heart. That's what the Bible says. You can train them up in the way they should go and they will not depart from it, which means they'll always remember. It doesn't leave them just because they're off in sin. They still know. But their choices are their choices. You know, now our role as parents, if we sin against our children, like say me when I used to have all them men, I went back, you know, once I got recommitted to the Lord and everything, I went back to my kids and I repented. I dealt with that thing. You know, that's about as much as we can do is repent and go forward. And if the kids choose to, you know, not forgive, because ain't none of us perfect. So if they choose not to forgive, it's on them. You did all you knew to do. And except you can pray, of course. And you can do spiritual warfare. But I want to tell y'all guys this too. Okay, Satan is a legalist. So this is why I tell you, whenever things happen to you, or to your family, like in your house, always go to the Lord and ask Him if there was a door you opened. If your kids, like say if your kids go to jail for something, okay, for something stupid they did, and you get mad at them, you know, because you know they were stupid in what they did, so you're mad, you know. The role of our generation is to go to God. So there's a thing that I used to preach called the parent gate. And that's where the enemy comes after the parents to get to the kids. Because he wants the kids. So he will have you being off in fornication and drugs and drinking and, you know, all your shenanigans because you're miserable about your life or whatever. And but he's really after your kids. Okay. So when you get saved and you repent, you have to deal with that. You have to deal with what you did. So what you do is you, of course, ask the Lord to forgive you for, you know, I told y'all about that time I was at the lake when I was in my first few months of the pit back in 2013. And I surrendered all and began losing everything. I was at the lake, and the Lord said, I want you to write down everybody you slept with. And I told you guys, you know, how I was molested when I was 5 and whatnot. So I had a lot of promiscuity over the years. So I was like, oh, Lord, what if I can't remember, you know? And He's like, just write what you remember. I was like, okay. So I took His, you know, notebook. I started writing. Now, here's the thing. When I started putting the names on there or the memories, and I had to face what I did before a holy God. See, a lot of people think when you get saved, everything from your past is all gone. It's not. There are things that still need to be dealt with. That's what Jesus is for, is to make all things whole. So this is one of those examples. So as I'm writing this down, I realize, wow, look what you did to your temple, man. You know, you just let them people sleep with you, and you didn't even know these people, you know. And then it becomes a reality because you're standing before God. You're in the throne room, and he's judging you. But see, I'd rather be judged on this side of earth. I'd rather be judged now. God, judge me now than to have to stand before him because I refuse to have dealt with it. So then I started bawling, thinking about what I've done to my kids doing this, what I've done to other people doing this, what I've done to myself doing this. So when I finished, I held that list up to heaven, and I said, God, I humbly ask you to forgive me for what I did to my temple, and forgive me for what I did to my children. You know, in other words, I'm being held accountable. I'm recognizing the faults of my ways and what I did to affect all these other. I'm addressing this before God. Now, see, if I'd have never done this, that he'd have never put me in D.C. and I'd have never had to face Leviathan, that perverted, foul devil at the Supreme, not the Supreme Court, but the U.S. Capitol and the White House. If I wouldn't have been honest before God about my sin and my perversion and what I did to myself and to others, and recognize the perversion that was placed upon me due to my own actions. So I held it up and I said, in God, I forgive everyone on this list. I forgive them. And I'm asking you, God, to forgive me, and I'm choosing to forgive myself. And God spoke to me right then. He said, I want you to wad up that list. I want you to throw it over there in the river. I'm going to consume it myself. I've told y'all many stories about how God has consumed my offerings. See, that was a repentance offering. And this river was just a little river, and it was just barely flowing, you know, really quiet. And I threw that knotted piece of paper into the river. And I'm telling you that a wave come out of nowhere and went over that piece of paper and went and sunk it down. It took it. God took my offering. And when he took it, he spoke to me and he said, I have forgiven your sins from the east to the west. And I had that day of encounter of what I have done to the Lord and to other people. And he accepted that sin offering. You see what I mean? So I just want to tell you that if something happens to your kids, you know, maybe there was things we did as parents that opened that door to our kids to be the same way we was. So Satan is a legalist, right? So do this. Just go in your prayer closet, be honest with God, and say, God, you know, I see what my kids did. You know, the way they're sleeping around or whatever. And Lord, I recognize my role in this, and I'm asking you, Lord, to please forgive me once again for doing that and for opening that door to the enemy and my family. And Lord, I'm shutting that door. Devil, you're not moving anymore, because see, he's a legalist. Something's not been dealt with. So I'm just telling you, as a parent, examine yourself, because a lot of things that our kids do is based on what they knew growing up. You know, if you see flaws in your kids and you know, oh, they're just like me, you know, don't accept it like that. You know, look at that as a reflection of yourself, and then go in the closet. God, I see this in my, I need to do, because boy, some things are popping up in my head right now, you know, that I need to talk to God about and examine myself of what I've done, because Satan is a legalist. So we shut that door. For instance, I went to court with my daughter. Remember, I told y'all this story. She was up against a charge that had happened to her when she was 15 years old. So we're talking, you know, 20 years ago. So something had just popped up through a background check. So I knew on our way to court, this thing, Satan is a legalist. It's popping up because this thing ain't been dealt with. Okay. So I told my daughter on the way to court, I said, daughter, I'm telling you that if we do not repent for what you did back then, that Satan is still accusing. We've got to deal with this in the spirit. So you need to repent. She quickly did. She repented. She repeated after me and she repented. We walked in the court and you talking about favor from the moment we walked in. And that judge said, acquitted, expunged, took it off her record right there. Didn't ask her no questions or nothing. God set her free because we shut the mouth of the devil. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, in other words, if accusations come, go to the Father and ask Him what you have done and then repent. Okay, if you're in the right and these people are falsely accusing you, it will fall back on their head because you addressed it before your Father. I told you another story about that. This man called me and said, I heard you've been talking about me. I said, no, I haven't. I said, but I'll tell you what, I'm fixing to go into prayer closet and I'll talk to the Lord about it and then I'll call you back. He said, all right. He was this big apostle, you know. So I went and talked to the Lord. Lord, this guy says these people been calling him and telling him that I'm talking about him. Lord, what do you say? Was I talking about this man? So the Lord spoke back and he said, no, you haven't. And this is what I want you to say to him. Thus saith the Lord. So I went back and called him and I said, you know, I went and talked to the Lord and the Lord spoke to me and he said, thus saith the Lord, when you did this and this and this and whatever it was that God revealed. I can't remember what it was. I've given so many words to people, I can't remember them. So the man was in awe. He knew that I had been with the true God because only God knew it, what I revealed. So he said, I can't believe them people have been lying about you. And now I've told you guys stories of how many people over the years have formed posses and lied against me. I can't even tell you. One time I was, you know, that one woman I was with that I told y'all was so mean to me when I was in my servant, you know, in the pit. And all them preachers, boy, had turned against me and they all started this campaign to trash me in the city. So God had told me, hey, you're going to go serve this international minister and all I ask of you is to keep your mouth shut. I was like, wow, what a weird command. He told me that in a dream. A month later, I get a phone call from this woman. Hey, the Lord told me you're to come up here and serve me, but I ain't going to take care of you now. You got to buy your own food and everything. She said, but you're going to work for me day and night and put my website together, yada, yada. I said, and which the Lord had already told me, so I knew I had to do it. So I said, yes, ma'am. So that began, oh my goodness. Then that whole, when the city, all these preachers found out that I was going to this woman that was in all their churches and all, oh, they called her, they trashed me at one end. Look at the car she drives, yada, yada. I went through, you know, a really hard time with that one putting me down every day about my size and my poorness and all this other stuff, my terrible car I was driving. But in the end, on the last day, Lord gave me a dream. Because remember, she's the one that gave me the boiled egg. Remember that story? But the Lord gave me a dream and said, when you go in there into your breakfast, she's going to tell you this, but this is what I want you to tell her. So I go in there, and the Lord told me to get up and write this other preacher that I knew was behind all of this trashing me, you know, to this woman. I knew one of them. And the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock and told me, I want you to email that woman, the one who I knew was trashing me, And I want you to thank her for everything she did and yada yada and what she's been in your life. And so I did. I wrote her at 4 o'clock in the morning. Boy, she immediately wrote me back because she's up in her closet too, you know. So she wrote me back and she's like, wow, that's so nice. Oh, you're so welcome, yada yada. Well, I didn't know that God had prepared me for an oncoming attack in the kitchen. So I go in there for my breakfast and I sit down. Here's this woman standing over everybody's kitchen sink. I just want you to know what the ministers in your town say about you. And boy, she just started spilling it about what all these people think about me. Their biggest complaint that they said about me was that I was poor, driving a trash car, which I told her when she first told me, I said, you need to talk to God about it. He's the one who gave me this car, woman. So, I mean, of course, I'd rather be driving a Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? But if God, Jesus, give me a car that's 260,000 miles, of course, I'd rather be, you know, another car. But if you don't like what I'm driving, you talk to God about it, you know? So anyway, she goes on and on, you know, about all this stuff these people are saying. So I let her talk. When she got done, I said, ma'am, I said, the Lord gave me a dream this morning and told me he was going to say all this. So this is what I got to say to you. Thus saith the Lord. He said for me and you to go in there to your prayer closet and for us to pray to him this morning. He's going to show you himself who I am because I had put up this woman's mouth for 3 weeks every day. One time she told me, she goes, don't you realize how fat you are? Because she was this really tiny beauty queen woman, you know. She was like, you're so big, you could just break furniture. Don't you just know? Oh, my claws come back. That was the only day I cracked. I couldn't stand it. I told her, I said, ma'am, if I was not a Christian, I'd reach over and pop you in the jaw right now. Yes, I did. I said, but I forgive you and I ain't going to do it. Oh, did I make you mad? That made her so happy that I replied like that. But anyway, so we started praying. So I was the first one that prayed. And I said, Lord, you heard what this woman said about all these ministers that are talking about me to her. And Lord, you know what they said. But I'm telling you, Lord, before her and all these accusers and before my God, that I forgive. I forgive them, Lord. I mean, I dealt with it and I shut that devil up because I forgave all these nonsense people, you know. So then she starts praying. Oh, my world. The fire God come down this woman. And she prophesied to me. I mean, who I was. When she got done, she said, she sat back in her chair and she goes, wow. I cannot believe who I'm sitting here with. Can you believe all them people do that to you? Can you believe they're all lying? I said, yes, I've been trying to tell you. But God is the only one that's my defender. I cannot defend myself against a lie. Only God is the one that I need the approval of, that I need the eyes of. Because people are going to accuse. When people get mad at you or jealous or, you know, whatever it is that their motive is, boy, they're going to go on attack. And I know I'm fixing to go through one. You know, the Lord's already given me a dream about it. But he's told me to keep my mouth shut. Because God is my only defender, you know. It would be easy for me to sit there and defend myself against every accusation. But let me finish the story of that woman. So she was in awe about all these people and how they'd been lying. And I told her, I said, I forgive them all. But since all them people who lied, they all gave her open doors, she quickly went back over to their side. But you know, I ended up leaving and I finished my mission, but God had trained me. That was my training for me, for what was coming globally, which I know I'm fixing to go through. And, but let's go back to the word here. Let's see, where was I at? Okay. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise said, I don't think so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Another thing I want to say about that story is, over the years, 5.5 years, I've seen a lot of people fall off that used to follow me. I was real close to them and everything, but they all made wrong decisions over the years. They chose to get in all this other stuff that they know I preach against. They can't say no to their job or say no to, you know, whatever it is that's going that way. And a lot of them will turn on me, you know, and try to cause me problems and whatnot. But you just have to keep going and you have to just watch them fall, you know. You pray for them, but people are going to do what they're going to do. You can't change people, you know. All you can do is preach the truth. And then let's go to verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, who's ready? The ones that are watching. The ones that are paying attention. The ones that were ready went with him to the marriage and the door was shut. Isn't that sad? Just like what I'm telling you guys about the metaverse and the Ark of the Beast. It's the same. The Lord showed me this when I wrote that book, Metaverse, Mark of the Beast. That, you know, the Bible says, as in the days of Noah, back in Noah's days, you had the ark. All the animals were in the ark, and they were safe in God. And all the people that was on the outside were the Nephilim and the evil. And then the storm came, and God shut the door himself. Bam! And they were safe. Okay? But in this end time scenario, it's opposite. In the metaverse, is everybody pushing into the metaverse? And you see a lot of NAR and a lot of freedom farce that's pushing everybody in there. Okay, all of that stuff is crypto and Web3 and, you know, all of that stuff is the metaverse. Okay, and the decentralized medicine and all this. It's basically technology. Okay, so it's pushing everybody in there. Now, the animals that are going in this ark, they are marked, they're cattle, just like the way the Jamaican described it when they took the V. They're like cattle. They're marked, they have a new IMEI number, and they're tagged. They go in the ark, okay? The ark is Lucifer's safety. Oh, if you want to live here a little while longer, you need to come on in and do all this stuff that we're doing. Now, the people on the outside of this scenario is the ones that they're targeting right now. It's the natural, the pure, you know, the people that choose to stay in the image of Jesus, that choose to stay in the house of Jesus. That's the key. He wants people to step in that ark and get in that house. Get in this house. We want to tag you. We want to monitor you and you know, see everything you're doing. You know, you have to be a part of the hive mind, so you got to get in the hive mind. But the ones on the outside, they really about to go through some stuff, ain't they? We know that they're talking about this great divide that's coming to the country. You know, let me see who this is. Oh, this is a lady wanting to get in on the church, I bet. Hold on. Miss June. Oh. Hey, Sylvia. Hello? She's calling because I put that code on here. I bet she's wanting to know what that code is. But anyway, what was I saying? Kayla, what was I saying? Carla, what was I saying? Before I got distracted. Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and finish then what the Lord was saying, you know, on his deathbed. Oh, they want us to go in the ark. Okay. So, those of us that are on the outside of the ark in the house of Jesus, they don't want us in there. I mean, they want us in there, but we have to leave this image. So, they want to destroy the image, you know. And because of that, those that are on the outside of the ark, we're about to be, you know, flooded with accusations and remember the fiber for the cyber dream and, you know, kind of pressure people to go on in. And so, in other words, just like he said in chapter 24, going through that time of testing. You know, so let's continue here. And the door was shut, verse 10. But the only ones that got to go in with Jesus was the ones that were ready. Afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, open up to us in this sad. Because also, these are people that obviously recognize the Lord that was a virgin, right? They're all virgins, which means they wanted to be pure to an extent, you know, but they just didn't give them their all type of deal. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I don't know you. You know, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So in other words, everybody has their dispensation of grace. You know, everybody, every one of you are all going through stuff. And he's saying everybody has the grace for what they need and what they're going through. You know, there's mothers that have 1 or 2 children with autism. And I look at them and I think, how do they do it? You know, because I have a dog that is very sick and we're considering what we're going to have to do with her type of deal. Because it's just gotten so bad, it's unbearable for her. You know, and with animals, you have to put them out of their misery type of deal. But when you see, you know, these parents that have children. And I used to drive a special ed bus in Nashville. And I've seen one time there was this little kid I picked up and half his head was smashed in. His head was smashed in because his father got in a drunken rage and smashed him when he was a baby. And then I would pick him up at his house. By this time he's a teenager and his dad would have to bring him to the bus. So can you imagine looking at what you did and then half his face is smashed in and you're having to see this and he cries in pain all the time? I know another man that was a preacher and he whipped his son with a stick, you know, like a 2x4. And he whipped him so hard that it caused him, he was 14, and it caused him to have epilepsy the rest of his life. And he died when he was 25 because of the onset of the epilepsy. And the preacher had to live with what he did in that one moment of anger. But having to put up with the suffering of his child, you know, for 10 years. Now, I'm not making excuses for what he did, but I'm just saying. Oh, he hit him over the head. That's what it was, with the 2x4. I don't know, like, all the details, but I was there the day that that man died because I was dating him at the time. And, you know, I was there when the mother called him to come home. And when he walked in, because she just told him to come home, something's wrong. So when he walked in the door with his lunch pail, he said, "Where's he at?" And she said, "Honey, he's gone." And when she said that, he fell to his knees and wept before God. I mean, cried. A sincere, "I know I did this. I'm so sorry." You know. But it's like that, though. You know. There's going to be people that will see the error of their ways when Jesus comes. And they are like, "Lord, I should have made it in." And that's where the weeping and gnashing of teeth comes in. Because he says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not the hour when the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who calls his servants, delivers unto him goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, and every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." So my point about the, you know, the people going through all the suffering, like the autism and the, you know, people with special needs children, or children with special needs type of deal. Being with people that are suffering is what I'm trying to say. You have to have grace, or you can't do it. You know, and even what we're all about to go through in this end time scenario, we're going to have the grace of God. Look at Stephen when he was being stoned to death. He had to have the grace of God, you know, in order for him to put up with those stones hitting him, you see. Paul, when he went into Jerusalem to die, you know, he had to have the grace of God to be able to face his accusers like that, you know, and that's what we're going to have. "Then he that has received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said to him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been so faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? And one thing I want to say about this is everything that we have is not ours. You have to know that. This is why you can never let things have you. Because God could ask them back anytime. God can take anything, even the devil. He can send a flood and wipe everything you have out. You have to let it go. You have to not let it have you. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Because some people, let's say, you know, they're caught up in a flood or caught up in a tornado or something, and they lose everything. They are so devastated they can't even move. They think their whole life is over because the things had them. You have to give it back to God because, you know, like Klaus Schwab says, you will own nothing and be happy about it. You know, but in Christendom, we own nothing anyway. It's all the Lord's. So when he says here, "Have you been faithful with what I've given you? Have you been a good steward?" you know, of what I've given you. And I've always said that, you know, when God gave me that old car that all them people made fun of me, do you know I kept that car clean? I sure did. I kept that car clean. I kept it spotless. And I took the got the oil changes. I took care of what God gave me. I was a steward. And then the next car, he blessed me with a better car. I took care of that car. Bam, bam, bam. He gave me another one. I got a newer car each time. Do you hear what I'm saying? Take care of what you have. Like yesterday when I was cleaning up my front porch, you know, I was just so done with it. You know, just it was so dirty. And it, of course, it was 100 degrees yesterday, you know. But I was in the shade, but it was still hot in there. And but it took me 11 hours because I had to build a shelf, you know, and all this other stuff that was waiting to have been done. Cleaned all the dirt daubers out and, you know, moved all the pictures. Found a bunch of dirt daubers behind pictures. You wouldn't believe where them things set up house. You know, it's crazy. But the point is that when I got done late last night, it was about 7 o'clock. I was so proud. Although all my muscles, I couldn't even hardly move. I was so exhausted. I was telling Dennis last night, I'm so exhausted I can't even speak how tired I am. It's so bad, you know. But sitting there so satisfied in my soul, you know, that I had taken care and was stewarding what God had given me. Even though just the day before I was complaining about it. You know, this house is so small. You know, my last house was twice this size. You know what I mean? I had a garage. I had a paved driveway. I had a perfect yard. You know what I mean? And, but God has, you know, what he's given you, you know, we're grateful and thankful for it, but we steward what we have and what he's given us, right? Okay, now his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, so I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which has received the one talent came and said, Lord. Now, I just want to say something. Pause, pause, pause. Okay. I just want to say something. There's a lot of us, and I'm including myself in this, okay? There's a lot of us over the years. You know, ever since this COVID thing started. And we all said, oh, we're never going to go to the doctor. We ain't going to give our blood. You know, we said all this stuff. We ain't going to go to the dentist. We ain't going to do nothing. We ain't going to take no prescriptions. Yada, yada. You know, you have all these high and lofty ideals. You know what I'm saying? But 5.5 years later, when things are falling apart, it's like, okay. You know, the world is still moving here. You know, people are still, I mean, life is still going on out here, you know, while we're in a pause state. So a lot of people, you know, in the meantime, over the past 5.5 years, they've had to go to the doctor. They've had to go to the hospital. They've had to go to the dentist. They've had to get surgery. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Life happens, okay? And so I want you all to know, don't be condemned. Don't condemn yourself. You know, because even if it was your mistake, even if it was your problem, you know, your fault or whatever, Jesus always makes the crooked path straight for his people. You know what I mean? Like sometimes we get in debt and sometimes we have to ask for help. You know, from the government or, you know, like from businesses, like, help, I'm in too much debt here. I got to stop these credit cards. I'm out, you know, it's out of control. Sometimes you got to go to the doctor, you know. Here's a good one. My body. I have 2 instructors. Now I have 3 because now my doctor jumped aboard. I went to my doctor last week for a physical. She's on board the team now, so I have her, and I have the physical trainer, and then I have the aquatics instructor. All right, but I'm having to humble myself in front of all three of these people that I'm held accountable to, plus my husband, who's the nutritionist. Now there's four. Then I have a prayer team, you know, that prays for me all the time. So it's a whole team of people. The point is I've had to get help. This is, my body has gotten out of control here. And it may be the same with your money, or it may be the same with sickness. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need help. Okay, so I'm just telling you, you know, don't sit over there and just keep suffering and suffering. Get help. You know, right now, the only thing that we should never get involved with is the beast. Whatever is the mark of the beast, you know. Don't get involved, of course, you know, with Web3 or things that's going to take you in there. But if you have to do some things, don't feel guilty about it. I mean, we're still here. You know what I mean? All right, so let's continue. And by the way, this deal with me having all this help has helped me so much that now I'm all in. I'm not about the weight loss of it, you know. I'm not doing it the old way. My point is health. I'm in it for my health. Yes, I've lost a lot of weight, but it's not about that. It's about, you know, my mind being changed. You know, my heart being changed. One of that lady that's my personal trainer, she has a PhD in public health with a minor in women's health, older women. So her focus and her discipline is my type of people, as older women. And her master's degree is in physical fitness. And so this, her whole, God has trained this woman, her whole, just like he did me, going to London and all of my college years, you know, corporate communications, public relations and all that, for what I'm doing now. He's done the same for her. So now he tells her, you know, I want you to take June on for free. And she did, and still is. But the point is that she's counseling me to come out of this stinking thinking that has caused me to not be able to cross over into my health and into the victory of overcoming this body. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I have to have help, you know, as good as y'all think I am or whatever, you know. We all have flaws. We all have issues and addictions and things that we need to get rid of and be healed and whole. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if you have to ask for help, like, you know, there's another, you know, neighbor that I've been ministering to, and she's elderly, and, you know, her husband's like 90, fixing to be 95. And, you know, she's really considering, you know, putting her husband in a nursing home, and she don't want to. She can't afford it. You know, they would take all of his Social Security. And but she has to have help. She's at her wit's end. Her body can't do another thing, about like I was last night. You know, muscle can't move another thing. She's done. You know, she loves him, but she's just so tired. She has to have help. Is it wrong to ask for help because we don't want our loved one in the nursing home? Do you hear what I'm saying? But what is she to do? The kids ain't there to help her no more. You know, she don't have her church coming in, you know, every day to help her. You see what I mean? It's one person taking care of a 94-year-old man, you know, who falls a lot and has a lot of issues, right? And she's done it for years, but she's just at her. It's okay to get help, is what I'm trying to tell you. The Lord knows what you're going to. Hey, there you go, Carla. That's true. Pride can also cause us to not ask for help. That is true, because you think you can. Okay. All right, Carla. Boy, you done opened up a good one, young lady. My body. Well, I don't know, because I've always wanted help, but pride can stop it. That's true, though. You know, people can think that they don't need help. They can do it all on their own, so they'll go on a quick diet and lose 20 pounds and then gain 40. I hear you. I was talking to my friend. She was telling me about how her and her husband are doing this keto diet, and you know, and you know how they're cooking all these awesome foods in the microwave and stuff. And I said, I hate to tell you this, but Dennis said, whenever you put something in the microwave, you're killing all your nutrients. That microwave is a death trap. That's something I've learned from Dennis. Never use a microwave. And so we've never had one since we've been married. And he's taught me that. First, it was weird, you know, warming up your leftovers, you know, and just taking so long and whatnot. But, you know, as he explained it, you know, you need your nutrients. So it kills all the live stuff in there. It's terrible. It's radiation. Okay, so let's go back to the word here. Okay, verse 24. Because we're still with Jesus on his deathbed. Okay, so he's talking to the church about, you know, his instructions for them in the kingdom, like David was with Solomon, leaving him his last words for the kingdom. Okay, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. So there you have that is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant. Wow, slothful, lazy. You knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he that has abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Wow. God is a multiplication God. He is. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, not stewarding his property right. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. Okay, here we go. Here's instructions. I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So there you go. He's saying, give, give, give. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we somebody hungry and fed him, or thirsty and gave him drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when we saw the sick or in prison and came unto thee? So they're saying, when are you talking about? And Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. Now, this is what is so sad about Trump and all the NARA people. Because I told y'all how when I went to the White House, you know, God brought me there with the intention of helping the poor people. I come up with this plan, presented it to the president. He liked it, they said, but they turned around and used it for another group, you know, the plan I did. But the point is, you see now, he don't care about hungry people. And the thing is how can the Christians partner with that? When they see that he is taking food from hungry people, poor people, you know, it just shows you where the heart of these people are. They, what it is NAR is so consumed with saving the system that they forgot their first love. They're so consumed with changing the system at the cost of humans, at the cost of the Great Commission, you know? Okay, so when you saw that they were hungry or thirsty or a stranger, verse 44, or naked and sick and in prison and did not minister to them, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to the least of these, you did unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let me tell y'all, one time I was in sin. I had been out with this man. It was like late in the night, you know, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I saw that, Carla. It's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I went to this store to get some cigarettes. And I had some money that I had raised for the cheerleaders. It was like $200 in my purse. And I went in my purse and I saw that that envelope was gone. I was like, what? And I was digging in my purse at this little store with nobody around. And I was panicking, thinking, oh, my God, I've lost these cheerleaders' money. That's like $200, you know. And I was taking everything out of my purse, and I couldn't find it. And this man walked up to me out of nowhere. And he goes, it's not in there, ma'am. And I looked at the window, and I said, oh, it is, sir, it is. I know it's here. And then I looked up, and he was gone. That was an angel in a human body. And I realized, oh, God caught me sinning. That's what I thought. God caught me having sex. He caught me sinning. Oh, no. But I knew God had sent an angel to let me know. I saw what you did, woman. Now, here's the thing. This is what's so sad about it. I was a Christian. But I wasn't living right. And I wasn't giving him. It was that during that time period where I didn't want to give him everything. And I was on cloud 9 because I was doing really good. I had been pure without sex, you know, for a month or whatever. And so I was on a cloud 9, and sure enough, this man lured me in, and so I fell for the trap. So there it was, you know, I got busted and called the man. He wouldn't answer his phone, went back to his house, wouldn't answer the door. He stole my money. So my mom, the next day I confessed to my mom what I had done. I said, Mama, I sinned. She said, what did you do? And I told her. I said, I met this stranger, and then he just stole my money. So me and Mom come together in agreement that God would make that crooked path straight, that I ask God to forgive me and for God to restore that money to me for them cheerleaders. You know, do you know that man called me the next day and said, hey, you left your money. So I got my money back, but still, God let me know there are angels out here, you know, and that angel was letting me know, you know, you've been busted. Okay, so let's finish here. I bet y'all trip out on how I talk about the sins of myself, don't you? Hey, it's all in my book. I ain't got nothing to hide. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to one of the least of these, you did to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, the righteous into life eternal. And then he goes into talking about his crucifixion and everything. And then he does the Passover. That was his instructions right before the Passover. And then he talks them into going to pray. And then he goes to the garden and he prays. And then he says in verse 52 in chapter 26, then said Jesus to them, put up your sword. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Think thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You know, if we really knew the authority that all of us have in Christ, we would probably be blown away, wouldn't we? I have told y'all how angels have saved me. You remember that time I was at the prayer meeting and that? My ex-mother-in-law, she wanted to just kill me. She was so mad because I brought her daughter who was in prostitution and a drug addict and was living in a drug house. And then, you know, I ministered to her. She got saved, healed, delivered, went back to her husband. God gave her her kids back, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, my ex-mother-in-law, she was Baptist. Couldn't stand me speaking in tongues. She would call me when she found out that her daughter got saved in a Pentecostal church. She called me and said, I'll tell you, you know, and say the F word and everything. And, you know, you better leave my daughter alone. And she kept warning me, you know, and everything. I said, don't you appreciate the change? I mean, can't you see God gave her a family back and everything? The girl, you know, she quit everything. And but the mother-in-law would not have it. She wanted her in the Baptist church or nothing. So then she got the Baptist pastor involved to go to her and tell her, I'm a loon, you know. So one day we was at her apartment, and she lived in this apartment, and I had been ministering to all them women in that apartment complex, you know. And so I had about 12 women in her apartment, and I was sitting in the floor across from the door. And there was these women that was, you know, on the couch and at the kitchen table. It was like one big open room. They was all around the room. And so I was telling them, wait. I said, there's angels here. I feel them. I said, they are as tall. They're like 30 foot tall. And they got big flaming swords. I see it in the spirit, ladies, you know. And about that time, that door slammed open and it was my mother-in-law. And she looked at me and she goes, I told you to stay away from my daughter and I meant it. And she come over there and reared that fist back and went, bam, right to my nose. But an angel stopped her hand before it hit me. And she was pushing against this force and could not get to my nose. Her eyes got so big like saucers, and she started screaming at the top of her lungs, and she ran out of that apartment building. So all them other ladies was like, what the world was that? I said, I told you, there's angels here. But the sad thing is about that is she got her pastor after that. She was done with me. She went and got that pastor. Because one time I was praying over her daughter's apartment. And I would go through each room, you know, and the Lord would show me, this kid is doing this, this kid is doing this, the husband's doing this, and he'd just reveal it all to me. And I would tell her, I'd say, you know, we're going to cast this out and whatnot, you know. But she didn't believe a word I said. So that night I got home, nice cooking dinner, and here she comes. She had them two kids with her. They were teenagers. And they were dabbling in the cult, and one of them was having these terrible haunting nightmares of red blood and whatever. So she knocked on the door, and she goes, "I told my family what you said when you prayed through this house, and they all confessed that everything you said was true." Yes, they did. She goes, "So we want this Holy Ghost. We want it." So I was like, "All right." So I prayed with them. Cast out them demons right there, and I prayed for them. Boy, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, they did. Well, the mother-in-law couldn't stand it. But God was really moving in this family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, the whole family was going to church now. But what happened? This is so sad. The Baptist preacher went to go see her and set her down and convinced her that I was wrong. And told her all this stuff that I had given her, you know, TBN preachings, TBN Bible. You know, back then we was all watching TBN. And told her all this stuff was wrong, you know, that they don't believe none of this supernatural stuff, and especially speaking in tongues and yada yada. So she wanted to quit me. And I said, "Well, before you quit, we got a revival going on at the church. Please go with me just one night." We go to the revival, and what did that man preach? He preached, "You have to choose me before your mother or your father. You better love me more than you love any man, person, place, or thing." So God sat down at a table with this woman, and he told her, "I know what you're going through with your mother, but you have to trust me and you have to let her go." But she chose her mother. So what happened was, it wasn't even a month later, she went back on the streets. She left her family, got back on drugs, went back out there, and the mother-in-law calls me, gloating that her daughter had left my church, you know. So she calls me and she's like, "I just want you to know that I'd rather her be out there on drugs than to be in your church." And I told that woman, I said, "Yep, and you will answer to God for that too." So I can tell you, I could go on and on about how that ended up in such horrible situations, you know. But anyway, the sad thing is that woman went out and her son got killed. Got, you know, through an alcoholic car wreck. He was drunk. So he got killed. And, you know, she had a lot of tragedy. It was really sad. But the point is the angels are real. The angels are real. Okay, so let's see here. All right, so let me scroll through here. Okay, so here he is. Right here before he died, here's his last words, chapter 28. Everybody turn chapter 28. All right, so let's scroll on down to verse 18. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, here's his instructions to all of us today and his last will and testament, basically, to the church. Here it is. "Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, this is Jesus talking in, you know, the last chapter of Matthew. But then when you get into Acts, you know, it says that you should be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because now we're in his house, right? So when I baptize people, me and Pastor, and we baptize people, we do it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We say it just like Jesus did. But we also add in the name of Jesus. Okay, so we kind of, you know, covered all in one. So basically, this ends the sermon today, and the whole point is this. The unmerited grace of God for an end time generation is the Lord speaking to you, that you carry on his name. You are the generation that he gave his inheritance to. You know, we are the kingdom of God, and we are the representatives of the house of Jesus. And we have to stick to that till the day we die, till the day we leave the earth, whether it is through Jesus coming back, or whether it is through death, or whether it is through martyrdom, whatever it is. We have to be willing to represent the house of Jesus, even at the cost of our own peril, our own self, okay? And the other encouragement is, you know, check yourself when it comes to your love for other people, spouse, children, parents, yourself, and see if you have any of them in the wrong order. It has to be Jesus first. Instead of America first, that's NAR, America first, system first. But in Jesus, it's Jesus first. You know, Dennis is visiting this church today that is NAR to the absolute bone. You know me, I researched it when I found out where my husband's going. I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, you know what I mean? I watch my husband like a hawk, yes I do. I make sure he looks pretty when he travels to go see his mama. Honey, you need to go get your hair cut. Y'all know what I'm saying? I look out for my man, you know? Proverbs 31 woman. But anyway, so I knew he's going to this church, you know? And so I checked it out, and I told him, I said, honey, you stepping into the fire in that church, you know? This guy is up there. I don't know if he's you know what or not, but he looks like it. I don't know. But he's definitely been trained by them. I mean, pushing all of this narrative that NAR does, you know, which is preaching against replacement theology and, you know, really pushing the Jews as the foundation of this country and, you know, all the stuff with the big eye country, all that stuff, you know. I told him, you're going into the fire. And he asked me, he goes, what is replacement theology? He said, just spell it out to me. I said, because this is where people are going to get in huge trouble with the anti-Semitism. Replacement theology is if you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that there's only one covenant that is still active before God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? That Jesus is his son, not just a prophet. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are one. So if you deny Jesus, you deny the Father. That's what Jesus said. When Jesus left, Jesus said, I got to leave so the Holy Spirit will come. What did the Holy Spirit do? And what is the Holy Spirit still doing today? Confirming Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So replacement theology is the Jews who were meant to be made jealous, that's what the word says, by Jesus opening up the door for the Gentiles and everybody else to get saved. For everybody else to have access, this is what grafted in means, not the way they're twisting it, okay? So what it means is if you believe in replacement theology, you believe that when Jesus came, the old covenant was done. The veil was torn. There's no more priests, no more sacrifices, no more old covenant where you had to sacrifice for sin to cover certain sins. Now you believe Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to provide all that we need as the Lamb who has all the sacrifice we will ever need in one offering. That is replacement theology to them because they're jealous. They don't like it that you think that they are the same as you. This is literally what it is. There is no favoritism in the kingdom of God. Nobody's better than anybody else. There's no male or female. You know, there's some people that have left me over the years that are doing their own YouTube channels. Actually, many of them are now. But they were, see, I saw them sitting there preaching that women should not be preaching. That they believe that women should not be head pastors. You know, going down that road, I'm like, what a farce. There is no male or female, people. Anybody can do anything that God calls you to. God made me be a pastor for years. And he made me serve women pastors across this country back in 2013. Almost every ministry I went to were all women. So women, it's not about women. It's not about men. You're getting all this wrong. It's not about Jew or Gentile. It's not about color, red, yellow, black, and white, nothing. It's not about your heritage. It's not about nothing. But to them, because you're saying this, you are now replacement theology because you think that Jesus overrode the first covenant, which he did. When he died, the veil was torn in the temple. No more temple. He said, I'm going to tear down the temple, baby. And in 3 days, I'm going to rise up and there's going to be a new one. What is the new one? It is the human body, which is why they're doing the jab, because they want to destroy the human temple. They want to take everybody back to the old covenant. Goes back to the Hebrew roots. The jab all works together. How many saw the news the other day? We was talking about this new crazy technology they got, and it all came from the Big Eye country. The creators of this. The brain thing. Remember that? Where they hook up the whole brain and they rewire people's brains. It's so sad. The way they're using technology to change the image of people and to change their brains. This is the Big Eye country right now. This is another reason that they say about replacement theology. Is if you believe that we are the modern day Israel, you are anti-Semitic. So it is what it is, people. See, they believe Jesus is only a prophet. He's not God. But we believe he is God. There's only one way, only one covenant. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, anyways, so I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let me look at all my notes and make sure I told you everything. Okay, here we go. We have our inheritance. We are the last generation. Our inheritance comes from Jesus. We are of the house of Jesus. He's the husband. He's the head of the house, right? Remember my book, Jesus is the True Husband? We're in his house. You know, like this house, Dennis is my husband. He's the man. He's the head. I had some people come against me who was, oh, my family. They got mad at me about something. And I told them, I said, you know what y'all are all forgetting? Is it's not me anymore. This is my husband's house. You know, he's the one that rules the roost here. It's not me making the decisions anymore. You know, you're forgetting there's somebody else involved here too. And that's going to be the way it's going to be. You know what I mean? But it's that same way with Jesus. Do we love Jesus more than we love ourselves, our spouse, our children, our material things, our, you know, our jobs, our cars, our future, our expectations? That's the key. Jesus gave us a new covenant before he left the earth and his time was done. He left us instructions. In Acts 1, verse 3, he was the son after death. I mean, he was seen after he died 40 days. Let's go back to David. Remember the 40, the 7, and the 33. Now let's look at Jesus. Jesus was seen after he died 40 days. Jesus lived 33 days. Jesus healed 7 times on the Sabbath. There's the 7. So just like David, his last words to us in Acts 1, verse 5, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. You shall receive. Now this is Jesus, not before he died, but before he's resurrected. This was his last instructions here. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be witnesses of me. And then Jesus left the earth. He left. He was gone. So there's the point, is that the unmerited grace of God is for you to do whatever you need to do in this end time generation. God has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you. And if you're a woman, you can do anything. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. If God tells you to pastor a church because there's nobody else to do it, or even if God just tells you to do it, do it. You can be a pastor. You can be a teacher. You can be an apostle. And you can be an evangelist. And you can do all of them in your lifetime. Because I can tell you, I have. You can be a prophet, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist. Whatever God tells you to do. Whatever role this thing is. God, there's no male or female. There is no Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. See, this is what I was telling you about Messianic Judaism. I do not believe in that. Because you're saying, I want to say that I accept Jesus, but I still want to keep all my old culture, and I want to put, you know, the Judaism on the forefront. It doesn't work that way. The whole point of Christianity is to be like Jesus. The whole point is we now take on a whole nother identity. You know, it's not about your heritage or about your earth, dirt, dust. All this stuff is going to go away, people. We need to know the kingdom of God. And if you know the kingdom of God, there is no identity there. There's no identity. Okay, so I'm done now, and as Miss Carla's reminded me to take the offering, I just want to tell you guys that God is a multiplication God, and that He will bless you for blessing those that bless you, you know, and I appreciate everything that y'all can give and sow into this ministry, because as you can tell, we are a 24-hour ministry. 24 hours. How many times have I went live late at night, early in the morning, in the middle of the night sometimes, when emergencies happen? This ministry, we've had people call. We minister to people. Just because, you know, like you don't see me online doesn't mean I'm not working. You know what I mean? But this ministry, even though we're not on YouTube, YouTube does not define us. Do you hear what I mean? We are still about our Father's business. It's just that we're underground right now. We're not a part of the Gemini beast. You know what I mean? True that, Carla. I give myself away all day, every day. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. So if y'all would, go to our website, gom.us, and give. Or you can do it through PayPal, but you'd have to text me to find out how. That's all we have left. So I guess that's all I have for you guys. Let's all pray and thank the Lord for His bountiful, bountiful word this morning. Lord, we just thank You so much for revealing to us today about our inheritance. So we are of the house of Jesus, just like they was the house of Jesse. We are in the house of Jesus. And Lord, we know that we walk in Your identity. and that we have a purpose, you know, as being representatives of the kingdom of God in this last generation. And we thank you, Lord, that your grace much more abounds to us, Lord. And when we need grace to go through things, you will help us to have that grace. We worship and praise your holy name this morning, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, I pray for every house that is listening to this or maybe watching this later. I pray, God, that you heal their home. That if there's strife in their home, that you would bring healing and humbleness there, Lord. I pray for forgiveness with them, Lord, that they would have forgiveness and love for one another. Give them joy in their hearts, Lord. Heal them from any depression and oppression, Lord. Thank you that they are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath, Lord. And they do have more that is for them than that is against them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we all have angels to help us to live here on the earth, Lord, when it is so impossible without you. We can't do this without you, Lord. So we just thank you and give you praise that we do have you and that we are not alone. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what I'm going to do is open up the prayer line after I stop recording. Because we did this last time, and I thought, I'm going to do this on Sundays. To the church that calls in, I am going to minister to you. If you need something, let me know.